Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bribe or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for SN Fresen Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. where it's all about the food.
Good morning and welcome to the SN Fresen Show. And well, so much seems to have happened in the last 2 weeks under lockdown. I was blessed and so grateful for my little fourth grandchild, another little boy. And the most amazing thing was the press. Nobody in the room, other than the eight people that were allowed, but hundreds and hundreds of people on Zoom, on Facebook Live, and it was just the most amazing thing. You know, everybody commenting afterwards, no catering. And, I mean, obviously some sandwiches and cheesecake. I mean, what would a bris be without something, a little bit of something? But funnily enough, we were talking amongst us and saying that this might well be the way of the future. I mean, a mother doesn't have to feel as though she's got to be polite to all the hundreds of thousands of guests. It saves money and all the catering and, you know, everybody running to see the baby and everybody being in the state. You all know the story. And I just thought that this was just, it was so wonderful and so spiritual and so meaningful. And it really was incredible. But we have to get down to some dishes. I'm cooking some dishes that I've been trying over the past few weeks. And I've had some time to do it, as I'm sure you all have. And so what I've, basically, what's been happening is that if I have a mouth for something, I don't go out and buy it. I mean, if I have a mouth for, let's say, cheese and pickled onions on some lovely rye bread or some sourdough bread, I'm not going to go out and buy the cheese I've got in my fridge, but I'm not going to go out and buy the bread. So I decided instead that I'm going to try all different types of bread. And the one that was really just got my mouth going, watering, and everybody else's was, I suppose sourdough bread, but more like a carpaccio. It was just carpaccio. Yes, I know it's meat. Someone waving to me, that's meat, sure. But focaccia, that's the word. Anyway, so it was absolutely delicious. It was like this artisanal bread, and it was so easy to make. So I've got to share that with you. Then, of course, when once we had the soup, my husband said to me, oh, this would be so beautiful with a nice thick bowl of soup. So I created this wonderful creamy bean soup with baby spinach, and we had that with our sour bread dough, and it was really delicious. Obviously, I'm going to be sharing that with you. And it's also a simple soup to make. And then because there's only two of us for Shabbos, I decided I'd make a one-pot wonder with a small piece of roast. It's the easiest to make. So I'll share that recipe with you. And then I'm going to share a recipe, what's in the cupboard, dessert. So obviously, I must tell you, I had talking about cravings. So last week, I think I must have been asleep at about 7. 7:15, I wake up, only 15 minutes later, and I say to my husband, I said, listen, I've got the most terrible craving for scones. I have to make some scones. He said, you're crazy, you're half asleep. He said, get a good night's sleep and don't worry about the scones. I said, yep, I have to do it. So off I went to the kitchen, and I made up a batch of Myrna Rosen scones that I love. Put them in the oven, and within 15, 20 minutes, we had beautiful scones. No beating, no mix, just a mixing bowl and whatever. And we sat, and it was like a midnight feast for the two of us. We sat and we ate our scones and some jam and some lovely butter. And then, but that was only about 8 o'clock. But nevertheless, we fell asleep satisfied. So, after the break, or when we come back, I will be starting to share some of those recipes with you, from the bread to the soup to the meat to the what's on the cupboard dessert. And we'll be back soon after the break.
Chalashing for Chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to Chai FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bagatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and I am going to be sharing a lovely recipe with you for the bread that I was talking about before the break. And I must tell you, I'm actually quite enjoying recording the show at home, I must say. I've got the beautiful sun beating down on my back. I'm outside. Can you hear the birds chirping? It's just such a natural, easy way of doing things. And talking about easy, this bread that I'm going to share the recipe with you is a no-knead bread. You don't need a mixmaster. You won't get your hands dirty, and the Dutch oven, or the big cast iron pot with a lid on that it should be made in, is ideal, but it's not necessary. And what's so amazing about this is that it is the most forgiving dough. There's no foribles with this dough. It's just rise time ranging from about 2 hours, if you're in a hurry, like you've got people coming on Sunday night and, well, actually, no, not in lockdown, but when lockdown's over, and you want to start making, you can do it early in the morning. You can leave it for about 2 hours to rise, but you can actually leave it for 3 days. So just get in the fridge and leave it there. And the longer you leave it in the fridge, the more the flavor comes out. Anyway. So, although it's easy, we don't want to compromise on any of the ingredients. So we need 3 cups, 450 grams of flour. You can use all-purpose flour. That's what I used. Or you can use bread flour. Okay, now they say bread flour, as I'll explain to you a little later, has got more protein in. So, you know, sometimes that does help it to rise and to get that nice texture. But you'll need, as I said, 3 cups of flour, 2 teaspoons of instant rapid rising yeast, 2 teaspoons of salt, and 1.5 cups of warm tap water. Not boiling or like really super hot, but warm enough, you know, like for how you make bread. Anyway, and then you'll need about a tablespoon or two just for dusting the bread as well. Tablespoon or two of flour for dusting the bread. Now, what you have to do is you mix the flour, the yeast, and the salt in a large bowl. And then you add the water. And then use the handle of the wooden spoon to mix it until the flour is incorporated. And the dough will be wet and sloppy. Not kneadable. Not like your challah dough. This one is like a loose sort of sloppy dough. But not runny like a cake batter. And then you adjust it with more water or flour if needed, until you get that right consistency. So you cover it with cling wrap in the bowl, and you leave it on the counter. Your counter, let's have about 2 to 3 hours until it doubles in volume. And it should be like wobbly, like jelly, and the top should be sort of bubbly. And if after 1 hour it doesn't seem to be rising, move it somewhere warmer, because it could be a cold day, so, you know, put it somewhere warmer. But now there is an option to this, and that is you can refrigerate, as I said before, for flavor development. So at this stage, you can either bake it immediately after the 2 to 3 hours, or refrigerate for up to 3 days. Okay. I've done it both ways. And in fact, they're both quite nice. But what I did was I actually doubled up on this recipe. I left one in the fridge and I left one on the counter. Judge for yourself. You'll see how it goes. You'll see which you prefer. And then you take out, you take the chilled dough out of the refrigerator and you leave the bowl on the counter for about 45 minutes. So if you're doing, going the refrigerated route, take it out and just leave it on the countertop for about 45 minutes while your oven is preheating. And preheat your oven and you can put your Dutch oven in with the lid on. Okay, so you'll need about a 26 centimeter Dutch oven. And you preheat the oven to 230, yeah. So it's quite hot. With a fan, I suppose you could do it on 220. And you stick the Dutch oven in, into the oven, and you, for about 30 minutes prior to baking, so that the Dutch oven gets hot, because that really retains the heat. And then what you do is you shape the dough, and you get one of those dough scrapers and you just sort of flop it over and, you know, scrape it up and you sprinkle it with a little bit of flour. And then you sprinkle the top with a little bit of flour. And as I said, using the dough scraper or similar, like a large knife or a spatula or something, you fold the sides inwards and about six times until you get a nice roundish shape. Okay, it doesn't have to be completely round. It can be oval as well. You don't have to get neurotic about the shape. And then what happens is you don't let it rise again, because you want all those bubbles in the dough, because that's going to give you all that air in the bread, the air holes, so to speak. Okay, and what you do is you transfer the dough onto a piece of baking paper. And you slide the large piece of parchment paper, not wax paper. It's got to be the parchment paper. Put that next to the dough. And then you flip the dough upside down onto the paper. Okay? I would say like seam side down, smooth side up. And then you push it sort of to the middle. Sort of reshape it and maneuver it about a little bit. And don't worry if it gets a little lopsided or whatever. Don't panic about that. And then you take the pot, the hot pot. Now, it is really hot, your Dutch oven. And you take that out of the oven. And you use the paper that your dough is on. And you lift the paper up with the dough on. And you put it into the pot, place the lid on top, and you bake it for 30 minutes covered, and then 12 minutes uncovered, or until it gets that lovely, deep, golden, crispy color. Now, you can cut it on the top a little bit, and then the surface area can get a little bit more crispy, but don't worry about that too much, okay? So that's our dough, and as I said, it's very easy to make, and all we needed was the flour, the salt, the yeast, the warm water, and we mix it to the dough, which is very wet, sloppy, and not kneadable at all, as I said, and you cover it with the cling wrap, and that's it. You don't let it, when it comes out of the fridge, or when it's, when you're letting it rise for about 2 to 3 hours on the tabletop, you don't knead it down again to get all the air out like we would do with challah and then let it rise again. You just take it and put it into the pot. Now, I know some of you are going to say, oh, what happens if I don't have a Dutch oven? Okay, a Dutch oven basically, oh, I remember in the old days, so I've got one that, La Crusade, that was like a Dutch oven because it's very heavy and it's got a very heavy lid. But if you don't have one of those, there's no problem. You just bake it. You can bake it in a round sort of cake tray if you want to. And you can stick that in the oven. Now, a tip that I got from somebody was that you actually put the, when you put the Dutch oven into the oven to get hot, it's, if you don't have a Dutch oven, get a rather large baking tin and fill it about 3/4 of the way up with boiling water, like you would with your cheesecake, a baking bath, and then you would put the cake tin into that water. When you're ready to cook it, you pull the water, take the water out, and you put the baking round cake tin into that water. Now, don't forget, you've got to have the paper underneath in the tin, in the baking tin. Okay, and that's really about it. It's so simple that you actually can't believe that I don't have to knead this. It's a wet dough. It's got, you know, they say that the wetter the dough, the bigger the air pockets and the fluffier the bread. So it's as simple as that, and I urge you to try it. It's just such a lovely dough, such a lovely bread to eat with anything, and to eat with a stew, and to, as I said, to eat it with a soup, which I'm going to tell you about after the break. And just a few little tips with this, is that although it's loose and sticky, it actually is easier to rise than firmer dough. And because there's no kneading, it's sort of puffs up, and it's got the most wonderful texture to it. And as I said, it's the most non-frivolous piece of dough that you'll ever work with. So after the break, I'll come back with a couple more recipes.
Chalashing for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to Chai FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bagatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and I'm coming back with all sorts of lovely recipes of 10 things that you've got in your cupboard, easy things to use. So this is a tomato and bean soup. As I said, it just, it's too delicious with the bread recipe that I gave you before the break. And you can make this with any kind of bean that you want. You can make it with cannellini beans, little white beans. You can make it with butter beans. You can make it with lima. Black-eyed pea beans will give you sort of different color, so try and stick to the white beans. I used 5 tins of beans, and here goes with the recipe. So it's 2 onions chopped up, 4 sticks of carrots, quite big carrots, you want quite big carrots, grated, 1 teaspoon of garlic, and quite a large, I'd say about 3 tablespoons of tomato paste. So what you do is you fry your onions, your carrots and your garlic in a little bit of oil. And then you add your tomato paste and you cook off the tomato paste, so to speak, to get that nice sweetness. Now, the most important thing is to actually fry the onions and the carrots for quite a while, and then they'll give off their own natural sweetness. And then you add the tomato paste, and then you keep, you know, you fry that off, so to speak. So cook that for about 2 to 3 minutes. And add just like a pinch of sugar if you want to. And then you add a little bit of broth. So I used 3 cubes, either a vegetable or chicken cube, dissolved in 2 cups of water. In boiling water, and I added that to the onions, carrots, garlic, and tomato paste. And then I added 2 tins of my beans. I used cannellini beans and butter beans. I added 2 tins of that with the juice that they come in with, their liquid, and I blitzed that all up. So I blitzed it because that thickens it up and it thickens the soup up, and I blitzed it all together. Then I brought that to the boil, added another tin of beans, blitzed that up, but not as long as the other ones. And then I added my last 2 tins of beans with the juice, brought it to the boil, and I just let it simmer for a while to absorb all the taste from the tomato and the onions and the carrots and whatever. It's meant to be quite a thick soup, and blitzing the beans makes it quite thick, and you have sort of different textures. So you have a smoother bean and a slightly more coarse, and then a full bean. And then you add to that a packet of spinach, well-washed spinach when it's hot, and you'll see that it sort of, the spinach will, baby spinach will cook very quickly. So I think you'll need about 250 grams. You don't have to add the spinach if you don't want to. I added it, and it does make it look a little bit more funky, so to speak. Now, what you can do is, if you want to make it milchig, then you can just crumble some feta cheese on top, or parmesan. You can shave some parmesan on top of that. Otherwise, you can just keep it parov and just serve it with meat. Now, something that I had a lot of fun with, as I said to you before, was the ultimate one-pot family meal. Okay, so this was just for the two of us, and it was so, how can I put it, meltingly tender, if that makes sense. And it was cooked in the slow cooker, but however, I did fry the beef. So I got, for the two of us, I got about, I think it was 1/2 kilo of raisin rib. And I fried that up, and but really brown on very high heat, and ensuring that the outside of the meat is really lovely and caramelized and dark brown. Fry that in a little bit of oil. Okay, now you don't have to worry, it doesn't have to cook through, because remember, you're going to put it in that crock pot or the slow cooker. Then what I did was, I added, once I'd fried it, took it out of the frying pan, added a little bit more oil to the frying pan, and I chopped a very large onion, I diced that, and I added quite a bit of garlic, because we love garlic. So there was about 3, maybe 4 big ones. Crushed garlic, cloves of garlic. I also cut up 5 carrots and fried that as well. Added that once the onion was brown. Okay, and I'd like scooped up all those beautiful pieces of the brown caramelized meat off the bottom of the frying pan. I added the onions and got all that going. As I said, then I added the garlic. Peeled the carrots, got those ready. Peeled the celery. It was 3 carrots and 3 sticks of celery. Chopped that up. And then I added to the onion, I added 1 cup of red wine, which you can substitute with beef broth if you prefer to. And then I put in 2 cubes of beef cubes in 2 cups of boiling water, and I added that to the wine. So there you have your onion frying, you know, it's gone lovely and brown, and you've added your wine and you've added your beef broth. And then I added my carrots and my celery. And I added a teaspoon of rosemary, a little pinch of thyme to it, and poured that over the meat, sprinkled it with salt and pepper, and it was absolutely delicious. Oh, one thing I did forget to tell you that I added to that was the potatoes. So I cut the potatoes up. They were quite large, the potatoes. Cut them up into about 4 or 5 little piece, 4-5 centimeter chunks, and stuck that in with the meat, and it was really cooked. I put it on in the evenings. We had it for lunch the next day. What you can do, put it on in the morning and have it for supper that night. And simple as that. And there was something else that I wanted to suggest. If you want to, if you like the taste of tomato, you can add a little tomato paste to the onions before you add the wine. I didn't do it this time because I was trying to keep the acid down. Okay, so now we also served a delicious butter chicken last week. And I know it sounds contradictory, butter chicken, milk meat. Well, this has got no butter in it, but it's absolutely delicious. So let me give you the ingredients for the butter chicken. It is one onion diced, 3 cloves of garlic, chopped or minced or grated, 1 tablespoon of garam masala, 1 tablespoon of fresh grated ginger, 1 teaspoon of chili powder. And these are all things that you've got in your cupboard, I'm sure, in your spice rack. 1 teaspoon of ground cumin, 1/2 teaspoon of cayenne pepper, and 2 14-ounce cans of tomato sauce. Now, 14 ounces, it's got on the tin ounces, and I think it's 445 grams. Okay, but it's just 2 tins of the tomatoes chopped up, and you'll need, because I wanted to freeze it, I used 6 boneless chicken breasts, skin removed, and I cut it into, I would say, about 2.5 centimeter chunks. For us oldies, about 1 inch. 1 cup of coconut milk, 1 cup of chicken stock, salt and pepper, and then I know a lot of people don't like coriander or stroke cilantro, dunya. So you can use that to garnish it afterwards, and with a squeeze of lime juice. And you can either serve it with naan bread, or you can get the friends, their flat wraps. You can serve it in that, or you can serve it on rice. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to combine the onion, garlic, all the spices, and the tomato sauce in our slow cooker. Okay, in the slow cooker, and you mix it and you combine it well. Then we add up the cut up chicken, we stir it, and we cook it on low for about 6 hours. You can cook it on high for about 4 hours if you want it quickly. And then to that, I added after about an hour, I added the coconut milk and the chicken stock, and I just let it boil and mixed it all together and let it cook for about whatever you've got left. So if you put it in after an hour, 5 hours, and if you're cooking it on high, another 3 hours, you cook it. And I'm sure you can sort of test it in between and see, is my chicken cooked through? Because remember, they're small pieces of chicken. And you garnish it with the lime and the dunya and whatever. And it should be creamy. Okay? So if you find that it's not too creamy and it's a bit too watery for you, okay, then you can lift the lid off and just sort of let some of the liquid, remove some of the liquid. Okay, so that was, I would say it's almost a mild, lovely, curried flavored chicken. So that was the chicken recipe, and I hope you enjoyed that one. And when I come back, we are going to talk about what's in the cupboard dessert.
Chalashing for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for SN Fresen Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. where it's all about the food.
Hi and welcome back to the Cooking Corner. The Essen Fresen Show. You know, when you've said something for so many years and then the name gets changed. But anyway, it's the Essen Fresen Show and I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife. And we've been talking about things that you've got in your cupboards and that you can use during lockdown. And if there's one decadent thing that I fell in love with, my mother always used to make this wonderful steam pudding, but I couldn't. Oh, she used to put it into boiling water in a pot and then put tin foil on top and paper and tie string and, anyway, it was magnificent. But I found something easier to do. So what I did, I had a cake, a box cake. In fact, I must tell you the truth. It was, a cake for a cookie mix cake, but I used it as a regular cake mix and I followed the recipe, did as they said. And then what I did was at the bottom of the pan of the cake tin, the round cake tin, or you could use a casserole dish or any oven proof dish. I put quite a lot. Now, when I say quite a lot, you know, there's, I would say about half to three quarters of a cup of syrup at the bottom. And then I poured the batter on top of that. And then I covered it with tin foil. So I thought, you know, that'll keep the steam in and make it almost like a steam pudding, so to speak. And, as it came out the oven, I picked it all over. And I covered it with the rest of the syrup. So about another cup of syrup drizzled on top. So I had it sort of seeping from the bottom and seeping from the top. And it was absolutely delicious. And I served it with tinned peaches. And you can get lovely pour of cream or you can just whip up a bit of olive oil. And that was a very, very easy and very, very calorific, if that's the right word. A very sugary, sweet dessert, but delicious. So as I said to you a little earlier on, I had, you know, I've been making things that whatever I have a craving for, I just have been making. So after that craving for scones, which felt like in the middle of the night, and going and making them, I decided I've got to have something in my freezer for those sweet cravings at night. Now, I find that if I don't have meat, if I have pasta or if I have fish or something like that, I'm still hungry. I still feel like something afterwards. You know that feeling, you know, you climb to bed and you go, I feel like a piece of chocolate. Yeah, well, that's what I have every night. So I decided that I'm going to have some biscuits, and they are so delicious. You literally take them out the freezer, and you can eat them. And they're crispy, lovely, sweet biscuits. So what you would need is half a cup of butter. Now, obviously, because, you know, sometimes even after meat, I still crave something sweet. I used margarine. You can use coconut oil. You won't need as much oil, I would say. Mind you, you know what? Use half a cup of coconut oil because you're going to put it in the fridge to get hard anyway. So it's half a cup of butter, margarine, or coconut oil. 1 cup of packed brown sugar. A large egg. 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1 3/4 of a cup of flour, 1/2 teaspoon baking powder, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, and here's the best part. You can either put in about 2/3 of a cup of chopped pecans. I like them chopped up quite well. You can put desiccated coconut in them as well, about 2/3 of a cup. You can put chocolate chip cookies in. You can really, whatever you have a mouth for, you can basically put in. I mean, if you want to chop up macadamia nuts, you can put that in as well. And then all I did was, it's an old recipe, one of my mother's old recipe from many years back. In a large bowl, I creamed the butter and sugar together. I did use an electric beater, and then I added the egg and the vanilla, and I mixed it well, combined it with the flour and the baking soda and the salt, and I folded in and just mixed that well, and then I folded in the pecans, added pecans and coconut. But you can do whatever you want. You can put in, as long as it's quite small. And the dough will be sticky. So what you have to do is you shape it into two rolls, and then you wrap each one into plastic wrap, and then you refrigerate it. I refrigerated it overnight because I really wanted the butter or the margarine and the coconut oil to be really hard. And then I unwrapped them and I cut them into about just 0.5 centimeter in slices, quite thin. And I put them onto ungreased baking sheets, because remember that the butter and the coconut oil, all that will sort of seep out. And I baked that for about 10 minutes on 350, which is 180. And I just like checked them to see that they were nicely golden brown, removed it and put them on the wire racks to cool. And just make sure that the nuts are also nicely cooked and they're crunchy. You can put dry fry the nuts if you want to get them extra crunchy. You can also dry fry the shredded coconut. It just gives it like that toasted sort of taste. And then I let them cool, and then I stuck them into the freezer. And it's amazing. I don't know. They just like defrost in a second, because they're nice and thin, and they're just so delicious. So that is my quick and easy fix when I need something sweet in the middle of the night, which is probably about 8:30. Okay, I will come back with another recipe after the break.
Chalashing for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to Chai FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Hi and welcome back to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and I've been giving you recipes for things that hopefully you've got in your cupboard so you don't have to go out shopping. One thing that I forgot to tell you, with the chicken dish that the butter, in inverted commas, chicken dish, what I did with the leftover chicken was I actually put it on to a pizza base. You can get pizza bases just with tomato and no cheese on it. So I put the chicken on it. And I put a little bit of, I put some sweet red peppers on and some green peppers. And then I crushed up some cashew nuts. And I put those, sprinkled those on top. And it was just so nice. It was just a lovely meat pizza with nuts and chicken. And it was quite nice and saucy. Obviously, I didn't make it too saucy. And then I put a little bit of coriander, fresh coriander on top. You can also put parsley. And I put a little bit of chili garlic sauce as well on top of the chicken. So, and that was absolutely delicious. So all these experimental dishes have been a lot of fun this past couple of weeks. But another very, very quick and easy recipe, which is really simple to do, is go into Woolworths and you buy the tomato and onion mix that comes, it's like in a plastic bag. Now don't take the bolognese one because that's got meat in it. You just want the one, I think it's called, basil and tomato sauce. And I added a cup of cream to it. I added some, cream cheese, a little bit of smooth cream cheese, about 2 tablespoons, mixed it all together, and made it with and added it to some pasta, made up with pasta as per instructions on the box. And I just poured the sauce over and grated a little bit of Parmesan cheese on. I hope that Kosher will still got some of that Parmesan cheese that they got in for Pesach because it was absolutely delicious and it really saw us through. But you can also add pesto, which you can get from Fresh Fellas. You can get the ready-made pesto. Add a little bit of that to it as well. Or just cut up a little bit of fresh basil as well. But it was absolutely delicious. Now if you like garlic, add a little bit more garlic. Welcome back to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's Wife, and I am going to give you a recipe now for a simple salad, one that I created myself and seemed to go down quite well. So I thought, okay, let me share it with you all. So you will need for this salad, it's my broccoli salad, and it's such a pain to check broccoli, so I just use the stems. I don't use the florets, and then I just behead them all, and I cut them up into about 2.5 centimeters, the stems. And what I did was I put them in boiling water. I would use about 500 grams or so. 400 to 500 grams, and put them into water that is already boiling. Boil them for 1 minute and then shock them by putting them into a bowl of ice cold water. So you keep that lovely green color. Okay. So you just want to blanch them, in other words. And what you'll need is one purple onion, red onion. You'll need 250 grams of Macon or smoked brisket or something smoked steak, and you want to shred that and cut it up very small, because that you're going to fry in a little bit of oil, and you're going to make it really crispy, almost like they'll serve almost as croutons, so to speak. And then once they're lovely and crispy, you'll put them into a bowl. But why I say fry it in oil is because I'd like you to keep the oil from the Macon or the smoked beef in a bowl for your salad dressing. Okay, so you fry the Macon, and you'll also need some sunflower, about 100 grams of sunflower seeds or pine nuts, and a chopped red pepper gives it a lovely inviting color. So what for the salad dressing, I used 1/2 cup of apple cider vinegar, 1 cup of oil, salt and pepper, and 1/4 cup of brown sugar. And I just shook it like fury in a bottle, a glass bottle with a lid on. And then I added about 1/2 cup of mayonnaise and shook it up again. You can blend it together if you want. You can use an immersion blender or a hand stick blender, liquidizer, whatever you want. And then what I did was I put the broccoli stems onto a platter, followed by the purple onions, the chopped red pepper, pine nuts, and finally the fried Macon. Now, when I said to you, whatever left from the fried Macon, whatever oil is left over, you can add that to your oil to make up 1 cup of oil. It gives it almost a smoky kind of flavor to the salad dressing. If you find that there are any bits of meat in it, you can just strain it afterwards. And then you just pour the salad dressing on top and sprinkle the Macon or the smoked steak or the fried smoked brisket, whatever it is. But it must be smoked. That's what really gives it that lovely flavor. And I think that that's what brings us to the end of the show. Carry on experimenting at home. Don't forget, like my Omer, go out and get some lovely steaks and some chops and have a real nice braai and have a light up your fires and get smoking. And I'll see you in 2 weeks. Remember, it's the eat and meet that makes this show complete. And thank you for listening.